And so there was one man that was physically abused by his father, and he grew up to be a young man. He was married and he had children, and later he came to become a pastor. The problem is, he was married, but as soon as he was married, he started hitting his wife, and even until recently, he continued to beat his wife. And that's the type of marriage that they had. And the physical abuse started ever since the marriage. The sad part is, that man followed that woman around so much just to get married. And eventually he proposed to her in front of a lot of people. And in front of a lot of people, he proposed to her and he said, "I love you. I want to marry you. Everyone, please applaud for me." And that man, he proposed to her in front of so many people. And in the end, because of the physical abuse, they ended up getting divorced. So I think the moral of the story is humans are unpredictable. From the outside, the man looked polite and nice. But the inside, how that man felt, we could not know. That man was so nice. He always gave others happiness. And there was one time when he actually came over to my house. This man, every time he came over to my house, he would always say, "Thank you so much," and he knew how to show gratitude. But after they got married, when I heard that the man was physically abusing his wife, I was so shocked. And when I heard that they ended up divorcing, I couldn't believe it. My wife and I, we both said, "No way, they could not have gone that far." But in Korea, we heard once again. And when we heard the victim, the wife, we confirmed it again. And she told us that she would never want to live with them ever again. And probably, I think that the scars that the man had from his father beating him never went away. And because of those scars, he ended up hitting and beating his wife. There are many things in human beings that don't change. For example, maybe our habits, our scars. And what I just told you right now, they don't change easily. No matter how hard we try, these don't change. And we always say, "Oh, that's a habit, that's a habit." And that means that over time, that it gradually became existent in one's life. And our habits, they tend to be inherited from our parents. People always say, "Oh, you're just like your father, you're just like your mother." Have you ever heard of that when you were growing up? I'm sure that a lot of you have heard of that. Oh man, the way you act just like your father, you act just like your mother. And our attitudes, they're very hard to change. And what about our habits? We always say, oh, this is such a bad habit, I shouldn't be doing this. But they never seem to change. And there's an old Korean saying that says, a three-year-old's habits don't change until they reach the age of 80. In other words, saying that until you die, the habits you inherit at age 3 stay with you. Now let's talk about scars. Particularly scars that you inherit when you're young. At first, and you can't really tell if someone has a scar. But let's say that an incident occurs, then unconsciously your scars come out. That man that I just told you about, no one knew that he had that in him. But when people heard about him beating his wife, it was so shocking to everyone. And everyone said, maybe he didn't mean to do it. But that's how far scars can go. And where did that scar come from? From when his father used to beat him when he was younger. And that's how his scars took place. So let me tell you again. The habits, the attitudes, the scars, the old things that we all have, they are hard to change. And if we don't change them quick, the deeper they are rooted within us. And that's kind of scary. There's an old Korean story that says when a mother told the baby, go to the mountains, and the son went to the river. When the mom said, go to the river, they went to the mountain. And in the end, when the mother died, the baby listened to the mother. The moral of that story is our habits are really hard to change. And last week I told you about disbelief. And disbelief is something that should not be in our walk of faith. Because disbelief takes away everything in our faith. It takes away from our circumstance, from our situation, from our relationship with God, from the relationship that we may have with other congregation members. And we talked about how disbelief should be discarded from our lives forever. But many times, many people have a hard time getting rid of their disbelief. Who were the Israelites? Who did they believe in? They believed in God. And they were the people of the covenant. But these people of the covenant, they didn't actually believe. Can you not hear? Can you not see? And they prayed so much, and they were in worship. Every time problems came, the Israelites turned back to disbelief. And they claimed that they believed in God. But let's look at what actually happened. In the end, they were in the place, in the position of disbelief. And so, our fight is not with the world. Our fight should not be with one another. Our true fight is the disbelief within us. Please do not lose hold of this. Is there, by any chance, some sort of disbelief within you? Isn't your life getting a little bit harder? Then we must claim the faith that can fight this disbelief. And there is a way we could change our lives. Our old habits and scars and abilities that don't seem to go away easily. But what if I told you that there is one way we could change all of this? What do you think that could be? If I try really hard, if I live a nice, compassionate life, and if I could use my experience, could I change all this? No way. Through my power, through my strength, through my wits, it's not possible. But how can we change this? What must we experience? We must experience the blessing of resurrection. There's no other way. No matter how weak we are, if we can truly experience the power of resurrection, then we can overcome any problem. Are you struggling right now because of an old habit that you can't seem to fix? Then come into the power of resurrection. Are there any times where you're frustrated with yourself? Then come into the power of resurrection. Are there constant mistakes that you're making because of your old habits? Then come into the power of resurrection. Are you worried about a scar that you can't seem to fix? Then enter the power of resurrection. The power of resurrection has the power and ability to change our lives. Do you truly believe that? If you can't, then I'm sorry. You don't have to stay here. Why are you trying to give up offerings? Why do you want to serve this church? If you can't believe the power of resurrection, then why are you here? There's no need for you to be here. And that's how important it is for us to enjoy the power of resurrection. So let's look at today's scripture. It talks about people that have changed by believing in the power of resurrection. So let's introduce some people. There were people that were constantly complaining and constantly in disbelief in the Bible. However, when they did truly enter the power of resurrection, their lives completely changed. And that means that if you and I also enter the power of resurrection, then our lives can also change. And I truly believe that. So let's talk about some people. The first person is in our scripture, and his name is Job. Let's look at the scripture. So how did Job have the faith of resurrection? So Job has never even heard of Jesus' resurrection. Why? Because Job was born several thousand years before Jesus came. But Job believed in the power of resurrection, and he experienced the power of resurrection. So that is shown in our scripture, verse 25 to 26. And I'll read it once again. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. And he confesses here, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he'll stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. He's saying, even after I die, the more amazing fact is that outside of my flesh I shall see God. That's the faith in resurrection. He says, I believe that my Redeemer lives. But when does he say this? Until, but he says this when everything disappeared for him. All of his fortunes, all of his money, all of his children died at once. His wife died. His skin became contained with a disease where he had to scratch himself with really sharp things. And his children died, and his wife left him. And honestly, for us, even if one of these things happened to us, we would suffer a lot. If our beloved one left us, if our beloved one died, if we had a really contagious disease. But for Job, all of these things happened at once. His children died, his business failed, his wife left, and he had a disease. And he had so many things where he could complain and fall into hardship. And all of his friends pointed fingers at him and said that this is what happens when you believe in God. But this is what Job said when that happened. He said, I know that my Redeemer lives. He's saying that the God that I believe in lives. And he said, even outside of my flesh, even if I die, I know that in the end he will stand on earth. Job had faith in the power of resurrection. And Job, everything was restored for him. He had more children, and his fortunes, his money was returned. So everything was restored for him. And when was everything restored for him? The moment he entered the power of resurrection. Right now in your lives, there may be some hardships. There may be some frustrating events. But do not worry. Do not give up. Is the God that you believe in alive? Then let everything down in front of him and enter into the faith of the power of resurrection. When that happens, God will. Let's look at Jesus' disciples. What did they do in their lives? They said, Jesus, we will serve you forever. And the disciples said, Jesus, if you do end up king over us, can I get this position? Can I get that position? But these disciples, once Jesus was facing persecution and about to die, they all fled. And even Peter, who said, Jesus, I will be with you until the end, he left as well. And one of the girls on the street said, hey, aren't you Peter, the disciple of Jesus? Then if you're a disciple, you're supposed to say, yes, I am a Jesus, disciple of Jesus. But he said, but Peter instead, he cursed Jesus and he denied Jesus. And these were the type of people that were the disciples of Christ. But in the end, the disciples changed. To what extent did they change? They said, I am willing to die for Christ. And all the disciples, they end up dying for Christ. If the disciples of Jesus, the 12 disciples, if they didn't believe in Christ, they didn't have to die for him. If you don't know that you're going to enter heaven, then why would you die for Christ? You could live however you want. Because you don't believe in resurrection. You don't believe that you will enter heaven. But the disciples of Christ, they all died for Christ. Why? Because they truly believed in the power of resurrection. Let's look at Peter. There are two different versions of Peter that we see in the Bible. One version is someone that is always making mistakes, always fooling around. But the other version is very confident, is very strong in his faith. And in Acts, we see that Peter raises many miracles, and many people try to kill Peter, and they say, "Peter, if right now say that you don't believe in Jesus, then we will let you go. All you have to say is one time, just one sentence, say you don't believe in Jesus." But this is what Peter responded. He said, "Hear this, people of Israel. The Christ that you have put crucified on the cross, he resurrected in 3 days. And there is no other way that God has granted us to truly receive salvation." The Peter that once was always fleeing and running away, then how did he change like this? When people tried to kill him, he said, "Go ahead, kill me." And the disciples of Christ faced persecution and death because of the fact that they believed in Jesus. And so, for instance, when one disciple was on trial, the judge said, "In front of all these people, all you have to say just once, just say that you don't know Jesus, then we will let you live." But in return, what did he say? He said, "Listen, I've lived for 86 years and Jesus has never abandoned me. But I'm not going to live much longer. How can I abandon Jesus now? I believe in Jesus." And why did he make that kind of confession? Because he believed in the power of resurrection. Let's look at the people of the early church. They all were killed and executed because they believed in God. But why did they have to go through all of that? Because they believed in the power of resurrection. I'm going to tell you again. If the people of the early church did not believe in the power of resurrection, then they were just foolish people. They could have just easily lived how they wanted and done whatever they wanted. But they didn't. Because they knew and believed in the power of resurrection. And that's how they were able to overcome those hardships. Lastly, let's look at Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul said, "Long ago I was a persecutor. I was a murderer. But there was one thing I didn't know." And what was the one thing he didn't know? Paul did not know the power of resurrection. Let's look at his life. He thought that his mission in front of God was to kill those who believed in Jesus. So he lived as a murderer and a persecutor. However, once he truly realized the power of resurrection, he said, "Those were things that I did when I did not know, and they were wrong." When did Apostle Paul experience the power of resurrection? On Mount Damascus, when he met God himself, and he said, "God, who are you?" And that was the Damascus incident. When I'm looking at this, I see, wow, I have hope too. A murderer had hope. A persecutor had hope. And even weird attitudes may have hope. Everyone has hope. When you believe in the power of resurrection. One woman congregation member told me, "I really want to die." So I said, "Why do you want to die?" And she said, "When I look at my husband, I don't have any hope. When I look at our children, I can't live." And so I told her, "Have the faith in the power of resurrection. Do you think that your life is too hard right now? Are you living in anxiety? Are you living in anger? Enter the power of resurrection. Enjoy and experience the power of resurrection. And here, God's great works will arise where your lives are changed." I'll enter the conclusion now. Today is Resurrection Sunday. The important thing is whether or not you believe in the power of resurrection. Now, youth group, do you believe in the resurrected Christ? Why is there no response? Now let's talk about the choir team. Do you believe in the power of Christ? That's how the response should be. Youth group, let's try it again. Do you believe in the resurrected Christ? Do you believe in the power of Christ? Now I'll accept it. Even if Christ resurrected, if you can't believe that, then there's no connection between you and Christ. You have to be willing to accept it, and you have to be willing to believe it. What did Jesus say? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And even the dead will live, and the ones that are alive right now will never die." Do you believe that? That's what Jesus said. "I am the resurrection and I am the life. The dead will come back alive, and those that are alive will never die." Do you believe in that? And what did Jesus say after that? What did the disciples say? He said, "Yes, Lord, Jesus is Christ, the Son of the living God." If this fact becomes the confession of your life, then your life will truly be changed. "God, I have bad habits right now. God, I'm living in a life full of temptations and mistakes." But if you truly believe in this, then your life will change. When you live the rest of your life, please experience this. There's only one answer. How much can you believe in the power of resurrection? If you can believe in this, then your life will be resurrected. So let's greet each other one more time. Have the faith of resurrection. Father God, we thank you. The faith in resurrection. And through this, you have granted us your blessing of believing in this. And Lord, allow me to believe it, and allow me to be the one that can truly evangelize it to others. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.